My name is Mary, and I'm just going to open up in prayer.
Father God, we just come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and we ask you to be with us as we read your word. Father God, I pray it's a blessing to everyone here in attendance. May you just speak to all of us. May you open up our eyes and our hearts to how much you love us. Please be with each person here. Open up the windows of heaven. Show them, Father God, just the right doors to knock on. Give them favor. Help them, Father God, with whatever opportunities they're seeking out. Be with all of them. Keep your angels around about them to keep them safe, healthy, and strong. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, it was interesting because since I was here early, I got a chance to visit with some of the little young ones, and one of them wanted to come up and sing a song, and he sang for me. They sang, "Jesus Loves Me." And it was so cute because that's actually what I wanted to talk about today, is love. And I wanted to start off in the book of Mark. If you haven't had a chance to get a Bible, I really encourage you to grab a Bible. I grabbed a few more. All those Bibles on the bottom shelf over there are for you to have if you don't already have a Bible. There's some New Testament ones that are a little bit skinnier. There's some other bigger ones. But when we read God's Word, it strengthens our faith. All right? It increases our knowledge and our understanding. And I always tell people that's one thing that can never be lost. It can never be stolen, right? It can never be taken away from you. A lot of things in our lives can be lost, stolen, or taken away from us. But when we put God's Word down in our heart, when we're going through a hard time, those words will come back and will bring us comfort, will bring us joy. So I always encourage, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, because that's where Jesus came on the scene. We read about how God promised a Messiah. He promised a way out for us. And so now that Jesus is on the scene, let's actually read and see, like, okay, what was he saying? What was important? What was going on? And so there's all these, like, religious people that they want to do it their way. The way to God is through rules and following regulations. And Jesus kind of comes on the scene, and he's going to be that ultimate sacrifice for us. And he's trying to make a point, and he's trying to tell people. He's like, look, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's we read that later in the New Testament. But Jesus' life was trying to tell us that. We see it when he's talking to the woman at the well, right? In John 4, he's talking to the woman at the well. She had been married 5 times. She was living with a guy, and he tells her. He's like, yeah, I know about your life. Yeah, I know you don't have a husband right now. But guess what? I am the Messiah. I want to offer you living water. And she goes off and tells her whole community about him, and he stays for 2 more days in that village to validate her testimony. All right? We read in John 3:16. We all know it. It's the classic. For God so loved the world, right? He gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But it goes on. John 3:17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So this is really important. This is what I want you guys to get. This is why I encourage everyone, grab a Bible, because we think religion means I have to obey all of these laws, because if I'm a sinner, I am not worthy, and I can't go to heaven, and I can't talk to God. But relationship with Jesus says, I know you will never be perfect. See, I'm not righteous, not even close to it. It doesn't matter how many times I come up here and I preach behind the pulpit. It doesn't matter how much I read the Bible. I am a human being, and I have fallen from grace. And I am tempted, and I sin, and I don't always do the right thing. But when I stand before God, it's not going to be my righteousness that gets me before God. It's not going to be my righteousness that gets me into heaven. It's going to be Jesus' righteousness. That's why he came and died on the cross for us. So it says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, when we call upon the name of the Lord, that we are adopted into his family. We become God's children. And it says that Jesus is our advocate. He stands in between for us. So now, and I've taught this before, and I'll mention it again because I see a lot of new faces. When we pray at night, we can always pray the cat eye. I call it the cat eye. Because when my kids were little, we used to always tease that the cats could see in the dark. So they would always think in bed at night, the cat eye. And each letter represents something we do. C is confess. Look, when you lay in bed at night and you think about your day, or you get up in the morning and you think about your day that before, the week before, just confess. Confess if you had those lustful thoughts, right? Confess if you were tempted to tell a lie. Confess. Get it all off your chest. Because it says that God is faithful and just to forgive us. All right? So we confess our sins. We ask. We ask for what we need that day, what we need the next week. T is thank. We thank him for what is going on, right? And then I, we intercede for somebody else. We pray for somebody else. So cat I. All right? Because Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. It says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. See, a lot of us believe in Jesus. A lot of us do. A lot of us have confessed Jesus as our Lord and Savior. But are we living life to the full? See, a lot of us have converted to Christianity, but Jesus said to the disciples after he went and rose again, he said, now go and make disciples of all nations. Yeah. Are we a disciple or are we simply a convert? Yeah. I encourage all of you that Jesus didn't want us to live hell on earth. He wanted us to have heaven on earth. And you're just like, whatever, Mary, that's never going to happen. Jesus didn't say that. Well, what about the Our Father prayer, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what he wants us to pray every single day. Let your will that's in heaven be done here on earth for me in my life right now. That's why Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. If he just wanted to come and just die on the cross and go, okay, you're saved, see you in heaven. Rest time here on earth, you just do whatever. He wouldn't have had to live a life. He wouldn't have had to live those 33 years. We wouldn't have to have all of this to read about his life. But he did. He came to be an example for us to follow. So Jesus is like having this discussion with all these religious people who want us to all go by rules. And this person comes up, and I'm in Mark 12, verse 28. And it says, one of the teachers of the law came and hearing them debate, noticed that Jesus had given them a good answer. So this man asked Jesus, out of all of the commandments, which is the most important? Again, he's focusing on the laws, the rules, right? If there's just one that I have to do to make it to heaven, what is it? I want to know. So he's asking Jesus. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now that's a good one, and I want to stop here for a minute. I want to really talk about the second one he says. But let's think about that. A lot of us love God. We know, okay, I know that this world didn't just happen. It wasn't just some accident, that there was a divine creator. And I believe that the compassion I feel for animals or for children or for my loved ones, that God must feel that for us. So he and his compassion, his wisdom, sent a Messiah down for me, for all of us. And I believe that he loves me and I want to love him, all right? But do I love him with all of my heart, with all of my emotions? Do I love him with all of my soul? Do I love him with all of my mind? If I use my mind on something, if I'm going to go, you know, go get my GED or I'm going to go get a certificate to work somewhere, I got to use my mind and I got to study. If they hand me, you know, a brochure and says, you need to know everything on this to pass the test to get this job, right? I'm going to read with my mind. I'm going to read it. Or I'm going to find somebody to help me read it. I'm going to have somebody help me study it. I'm going to do it, right? I'm going to use my mind. But do I do that and read my Bible? Do I love the Lord enough to use my mind and engage with him? And then it says, with all your strength. Strength requires effort, right? I can't show you my strength without actually picking something up. So am I going to actually do something when I love God? In my actions, in my mind, in my thoughts, in my emotions. It's interesting. I love that one. I always skip to the second one, but really, do we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength? We can do better. I can do better. I know I can do better. We can all do better, right? Because we're human. We're never going to be perfect. So why not try to do a little bit better? But I'm going to go on because, you know, he's saying, there's just got to be one commandment. What is it? And he doesn't give him one. He gives him two. He goes on and he says, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So these two commandments are the top two. If you actually take the time to look at the Ten Commandments, the first four deal with our relationship with God, right? You shall have no other gods above me. You shall not use the Lord's name in vain. You should keep the Sabbath, keep it holy. So really, the sum of those first four commandments about God can be said, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, right? If I love my God with everything I have, everything I am, I'm not going to want to use his name in vain, right? I'm not going to want to worship any other gods. But then the rest of the Ten Commandments, do not lie, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not, you know, covet your neighbor's wife. Those all deal with how I'm going to treat somebody else, right? So if I really love them as I love myself, I'm not going to lie to them. I'm not going to steal, right, from them. So really, he's summing up those core ten God gave us in these two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, that's where he gets us. Does everybody realize that? He doesn't just say, love her. He doesn't tell me to love her. He tells me to love her as I love myself. So before I can get to the you gotta love your neighbor, I gotta ask you a question.
Do you love yourself?
Do you love yourself? Did someone just preach that this week or something? No, okay, good. That's right. So do you love yourself?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
That's good. Because see, not all of us always, all the time, do. Sometimes we're a little bit disappointed in ourselves. You know, sometimes we're disappointed what other people have done to us. Sometimes we're disappointed in ourselves. Sometimes we're bitter. Sometimes we're angry. Sometimes we hate what we've done. And we can't go back and we can't change it. We can't fix it. Sometimes we hate what we've become. Sometimes we do. And let's be honest and let's talk about this. Because there are times when I lay in bed at night and I think back to something I said to somebody. Or a decision I made that changed my life, changed somebody else's life. And it was not for the better. It was for the worst. So how do we love ourselves, right? That's the big question.
We forgive ourselves.
That's number one. Do we forgive ourselves? We know that, you know, we're supposed to forgive others. Jesus says, if you can't forgive other people, I can't forgive you. But that's really, really hard. Because when it's ourselves, when it's a decision we made, when it's something we've done, that can be really, really hard. We have to make a choice. We have to choose to love ourselves. Just like, you know, I had to choose to get up out of bed. I didn't want to get out of bed. I actually went back to bed for about 5 or 10 minutes. And then I chose again to get out of bed. And I wanted to get back into bed. But eventually I made the right choice. So here's the thing, though. I didn't feel like it. I didn't want to, yet I still chose to get out of bed. So you might not feel like it. You might not want to, but that doesn't mean you can't choose to love yourself. You can't choose to forgive yourself.
Stop.
It's a choice we have to make, and sometimes it's something we just have to say in our head. We have to say it out loud. We have to write it down. I don't know what you need to do. But you are going to have to decide to love yourself because it's the second greatest commandment, to love everybody else as you love yourself. And I'll be honest with you, you're not going to be able to really truly love anybody else till you love yourself, till you're at peace with yourself, till you can forgive yourself. Because if you know that you're not worthy of love, how can this person over here who did this, how could I ever love them? I can't even love myself, and I did half of what bad what they did, right? And this is really important because God loves us. He loves us. I mean, you know, you might not believe me, but he loves you. You are special. You are unique. He only made one of you, unless you're an identical twin that has exactly all the same life experiences and is exactly doing the exact same thing as everybody else. And in that case, there's still only one other one like you, right? But
God has made you special and he has made you unique. And he created you for a purpose. There is a purpose for your life. There is a reason why you are here. And there is something that God wants you to fulfill in this life. And he loves you. And he wants good things for you. And he wants you to forgive yourself. He wants you to love yourself. So that you can then turn and love somebody else. And help them out. And be with them. Whatever your purpose is, right? We all have a different purpose. But we have to first learn how to love ourselves. So it's, you know, in this verse there, it's called the agape love. And it's this unconditional love. It's not like the love you have for like a boyfriend, girlfriend, a spouse. It's, you know, this love is called agape love. It's unconditional love. So that means even if you screw up, even if you make a mistake, it's unconditional. There are no conditions. There are no strings attached. I don't only love myself when I'm making good choices. I don't only love you when you're making good choices. I don't only love you if you make me feel good. It's I love you no matter what. You see, God loves us. And he wants us to make a choice because his word says it. Even if we just do it out of obedience, right? Like I said, we do a lot of things because we don't feel like it, but we still do it, right? So why can't we do this for ourselves? Why can't we allow ourselves to get healed in this area? There's some people here that have broken hearts right now. God wants to heal that brokenness. God wants to heal that hurt. He wants to heal that pain. Whether somebody else created it or you made a choice, whatever it is, God knows. I don't know everybody's story here, but God knows. God knows exactly what you need to be able to move forward in life. To be able to truly love other people. So we have to stop the bitterness in our heart. We have to stop the anger. We have to stop whatever is causing us to not truly love. And maybe we don't even know what love is, right? Maybe we don't know. But we can pray. We can read our word. We can ask God to show us. We can have him open up our eyes. But I'll tell you what. First thing we have to do is we have to act differently. When I was laying in bed this morning and I thought, oh, I need to get up. Oh, I'm getting up. Yeah, I'm up. I wasn't up till my feet hit the floor. I could lay there in bed and think whatever I wanted to think, but until my feet hit the floor, nothing changed. So we have to start acting differently. We have to start thinking about ourselves differently. When we forgive somebody else, we get to a point where we no longer speak bad of them. We no longer speak of the incident that hurt us. All right? And that's part of the forgiving process and the healing past what happened. So I'm going to ask you, do you still talk bad about yourself? If somebody talks to you about yourself, do you talk bad about yourself? Do you just point out all your failures? Now, if you're talking to, like, you know, a counselor or somebody in a certain situation and you need help, that's one thing to be honest. But it's another thing when you just complain about yourself all the time, right? We do that with other people. Oh, my so-and-so did this to me, da, 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 da. You know, and there's a time where you might say it to a close friend or you might say it to somebody who needs your help. But eventually you need to forgive them and move on and you got to stop talking about it. Because when we talk about it, our emotions feel that pain again. And I'm asking you to stop looking at yourself through eyes of bitterness or hate or anger. And start looking at yourself the way God sees you. When Jesus talked to that woman at the well, he didn't see a woman who'd been married 5 times and was living with a man and saw her as unworthy and he couldn't minister to her, couldn't use her. No, that's not how he saw her. He stated the facts so that way she would know he was from God because nobody else in that town knew all those details. But he did that because he wanted to validate who she was and use that opportunity for her to be healed, to be seen as worthy, to go into that village and minister to other people. God wants to bring us healing. God loves us, and he wants us to start acting differently. Because here's the thing. When we start viewing ourselves differently, and we start acting differently, then our emotions line up. That's what happened to me. When I was in the comfortable, warm bed, it felt good, and my emotions wanted to stay there. I didn't want to get up. But once my feet hit the floor and I started getting ready, then my emotions lined up with what I was doing.
And I started to think about you guys and coming here and getting ready and grabbing my Bible and reading the passage one more time, right? So sometimes you have to make a choice and you have to start acting differently, even if you don't feel like it, and then your emotions will line up. Maybe you don't feel like reading your Bible. I don't want to read a Bible. I had a hard time reading. I don't have time for that, whatever. But, you know, it's not going to do me any good. I tried that once before. I don't know what your excuse is. You might not feel like it, but that doesn't mean you don't make a decision to do it, right? Like sometimes I don't want to put my shoes on. But we put our shoes on because they protect our feet when we're out walking and there's broken glass. So we do the right thing and it's become a habit. Now we don't even think about it. Think about when the kids are little, you know, and you're getting them ready and you're like, put your shoes on. Oh, I don't want to put my shoes on. I can't tie my laces. When you're little and you're young, you don't see the importance. But as you mature, you take the time to do what is right because it's going to protect you. It's going to help you. So I encourage all of you, if you don't have a Bible, get a Bible. Read the book of John if you have a hard time with love. Let God minister to you. Let you see all the different people and places that you think, really? God did that for this person? He did that for this person? Yeah. And he loves you just as much as he loves her. That's the thing we got to get out of our mind. We think, oh, this person's special. You know, Jesus was there in the flesh. Guess what? Jesus said, I must go and ascend up into heaven after he'd been resurrected for 40 days. Over 500 people had seen him. They're like, just stay. Right? And he's like, no, I must go up so the Holy Spirit can be released. So now all of you can have a part of God in you. When we call upon the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is with us. That's why Jesus said when he goes up, he must release the Holy Spirit. Ask God when you're praying, show me your love. Fill me with your love. Let me have your love. There's this beautiful passage that talks about giving us beauty for our ashes, the oil of gladness for our sorrow. Time to make a decision. I think it should start right now, today. For anybody that's been dealing with this, today is the day that the Lord has made, and it's a new day, and it says we are a new creation in Christ, and we are no longer going to hate ourselves anymore. We're no longer going to have bitterness of the past. We are no longer going to be frustrated and angry, but today is the day that we want the oil of gladness upon us. Today is the day that we say, Lord, I'm going to love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind. I'm going to start reading your word. Today is the day that I'm going to be able to love others as I love myself. And I'm going to be proud of that love. Because I now, today, am going to start loving myself and see myself the way God sees me. And you might not feel it right away. You might have to read the book of John two or three times. You might have to pray a little bit. You might have to walk through some experiences. But that doesn't stop you from making the decision that today is the day that it's going to begin. That today is the day you're going to make a decision to spend some time in prayer every night, to spend some time in God's word, you know, in the morning, at night, whatever you are. You can see I'm a night person, right? I'm not a morning person. But we have to make that decision. And, you know, I really pray that for all of you because I've gone through some hard times and I wasn't proud of my decisions. And I wasn't loving myself and I was angry and I was bitter. And it affected how I treated other people. My kids used to call me Monster Mommy. Oh man, when I was angry, watch out! And don't you dare wake me up after midnight if I'm asleep. The kids would literally go around and wake up their dad. My older two would go around and wake up their stepdad in the middle of the night than rather wake up me. Because that's how much anger I had in my heart. And I'll tell you what, I had to make a decision. I wasn't going to live that way anymore. That I had to forgive myself for some bad choices that I had made. That I was going to truly love them as I love myself. And it took hard work. It took having to make new habits in my life. I literally set the alarm clock on my phone at a certain time every day when I knew there was nothing going on. It said, appointment with God. And I had to make a choice, even though I didn't feel like it, to sit down with my Bible and read it and pray. But that, guess what? One day, 2 day, 3 day, turn into a few months, turn into a few years, and now I don't walk around with that bitterness anymore. Now I don't walk around with that anger anymore. Now I can truly love you. Yeah. Love on these babies. Because now I understand that God loves me.
And he forgives me for those past mistakes. And that I have to focus on my future.
Paul is this great guy, and he's in the Bible, and he writes a few of the letters to the different churches.
And he's talking about how bad a sinner he was. And he said, this beautiful passage, he's talking to them, and he said, you know what? I have to forget what is behind me. I have to forget it. I have to forgive myself. I have to move on. And he says, and I long for what is in front of me, and I'm focusing on that, and no one's going to stop me, and I'm going to go forward. Are you tired of the past yet? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the past. I don't want to think about it anymore, because every time I think about it, I relive those emotions. If I need to talk about it now, I can talk about it without the pain I used to feel, because the Lord has healed that part of my heart. Don't let the past hold you down. I don't know, somebody here must have recently preached. I love this. There's some chains, whatever, they left their chains here. I'm tired of them holding me down. Right? The chains of the past. But see, here's the thing, there's no lock. See, when I ask Jesus in my heart, and he says he'll forgive me and forget my sins no more, they're no longer locked. But we're still walking around with the chains on us, voluntarily. Nobody has locked these on us. If you have Christ in you, you can just go like that. But we choose to hold on to it. We choose, because it's our identity. You don't understand, Mary. This happened to me, this happened to me, this happened to me. That's who I am. And I'm telling you, it's not who you are. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the past is done. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly today. You can hold on to that identity if you want it. Come over here and get it. But if you're ready to let it go, shake it off, and look to your future. Because the past is over and done with. And that is not your life. That is not who you are. You might claim it, but it's not yours. Jesus came and died on that cross for a reason. Are you going to be thankful he did it and you're going to receive your future? Or are you going to still cling to the past? Yeah, it happened. Yeah, it's not fair. And I'm sorry, and I'll pray with you, and I know we need healing. But you can make a choice today to not identify with it anymore. I'm going to pray over all of you, and I hope this encourages you, and I hope you take time to read your word. Read John, and prove me wrong. Prove me that God doesn't love you if you don't believe me. But I'm telling you what, when you read it, you'll see that he does. And he is a rewarder of those who seek him out. Seek this stuff. Seek it. When we read that for our Father prayer, we pray it. It says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's start praying that and meaning it. Let's start expecting it. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much that we no longer have to hold on to our past. We no longer have to hold on to our mistakes. But Father God, we can let it go. Because you came down and you gave us a new identity. You gave us a new and bright future. And that's what we want. And that's what we're going to claim. And yes, it's going to take time. And yes, it'll take time to heal us. But we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And you will be with us as we move forward in life. Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus to break off all those shackles. Any evil desires that other people have had and put on them. Anything that is just holding them down. We tell it right now in the name of Jesus to go. And plague them no more. They are free from it and do not return. We want God's Holy Spirit to fill them with your love, an oil of gladness over all of them right now in the name of Jesus. I pray they have a desire to read your word and to be filled with your love right now in the name of Jesus. Be with them, protect them, watch over them. Open up doors of opportunity as they move forward in life. We just thank you and we praise you for your holy word. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, have a great day.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Have you ever had an audio Bible?
Set this real quick. Sorry.